And I'm even more excited that our youth get to go August 9th through the 16th to be a part of seeing it firsthand on a missions trip. So Jason's going to share just real brief, and I asked him to play a little bit to lead us back into the Word. I'm going to be sharing in just a moment, but here it is. Jason.
Thanks, bro. Guys, it's a privilege to be with you again. I got to come a few years ago when you were in the other building, and I'm really excited that many of you guys from the church are going to get a chance to come and serve alongside of us. So one of the thoughts that's been in my mind over the past couple months is that many times God injects our life into someone's story. And a lot of the stories from the kids that we've helped through the years, they come from an environment and they've gone through things that honestly I don't even have a frame of reference for it. I can't get my mind around it. But a lot of these kids, we find them when they're at a point of trauma and they're at a point when they just need family. And so a lot of what the ministry's done over these 18 years now is we'll find kids that are orphaned, abandoned. Some of our kids, one was abandoned as a baby. Some were abandoned in a trash dump. And what we've done is God has helped us to connect Honduran families to these kids. And I know many of you guys believe that the instrument that God has created to heal kids and to take care of kids is the family. And so these Honduran superheroes, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that, these Honduran house parents, one of our families, now they've been in raising the same kids for over 13 years. And the only family that they know is this family. And I want to tell you, I know their life and I know their marriage, I know their kids, and just like all of us, they've gone through ups and downs, but God has been incredibly faithful. And I'm excited about some of you guys are going to come be with us. Let me tell you a few of the things we'll be working on because I'm pumped about it and I want to tell you guys about it. We have seen over the last couple years that God uses counselors and therapists to help us heal. And so I believe that when we let God be a part of that process, when you've got the people that have a heart to help kids walk through trauma, but then you put God in that story, God uses that to heal kids. We've seen it happen. And so what we're doing right now and what the group will be working on is a counseling and therapy new center that we're working on. It'll have two counseling rooms, and we're hiring in October. We'll have someone come on staff that will actually be a staff counselor, chaplain, and pastor for our ministry. And so you guys are going to be a part of that, and then all the therapy. One of the things that's cool about what we get to do in God's kingdom, all the stuff that comes, all the fruit that comes from that down the road, this church is going to be a part of that. Everyone that comes to help be a part of that, God lets that bear fruit, and then it's going to heal people, and it's going to help kids through their healing process. So we're so excited to spend time with you guys, and let me tell you, I don't have time to share many stories of the kids, but let me tell you about one young lady that we're helping right now. We met Sarah in November of last year, and she was 15 at the time. She just turned 16. Her mom had recently immigrated to the U.S., and just within a couple months, Sarah found out she was pregnant, and she was actually pregnant with twins, and their twin daughters, Bridget and Brittany, and they come from an incredibly difficult background, a challenging background, but then now this young lady was trying to raise twins that were several months premature without any help. And we met them in November. We bought some formula. We tried to just help with what we could, with what we knew about. And then we lost track of them for a few months. So fast forward to March of this year, I was getting my teeth cleaned in this rinky-dink clinic out in the middle of nowhere, Honduras. And it was just a teeth cleaning, right? I was getting ready for our trip, and I just needed to go to the dentist. That's all it was. And out in this little clinic in the middle of nowhere, who shows up but Sarah with these two little girls? And what happened is they had not had enough money to buy formula. They needed specialized formula for the babies. And God, once again, just had our lives intersect. And we got to be part of her story again. So now she's living in Give Hope to Kids with one of our volunteer families who are, like, watching out for her. She's with us 5 days a week, and she gets to go be with some relatives the other part of the week. But God saw fit to make us be a part of her story. And here's what I want to encourage you guys with. That was like God did that. I want to encourage us in our lives. Let's have our heart and our mind be open when we see people that we're going to cross paths with. I don't know of another time, at least in my lifetime, where there's been more hurt and more need. And our world needs us, you guys. Our world needs us to be outward focused And our world needs people that are ready to step in and be a part of someone's story. So I want to encourage you guys with that, because I feel like that's the right orientation for our spiritual life, is to be focused outward. So if you guys will let me, like Lance said, like in another lifetime, I was a worship leader. And I just want to share a song with you guys today. And so it's called I'm Listening by an artist named Steve McLaren and Chris McLaren. And I think that they were able to get the lyrics. And 2 years ago, one of my pastor friends asked me to speak. And my dad was a minister, but I don't know how people like these guys prepare fresh, hear from God every week and have something to deliver. Like, that was a gift. For some reason, I just didn't get that one. So I respect people that do that. But my pastor friend asked if I would share. Yes, please. Let's honor these guys. Someone that has that heart is like worthy of honor. But this pastor asked if I would share it. And that's not what I do on a day-to-day basis. So I don't have that frame of mind. But I literally sat up in my bed one day at like 3 or 4 in the morning, and like God gave me a message. And the message was, if you imagine your life as like the soundboard back in the back, and there are all these soundtracks, all these voices speaking into your life. And the message was simple. It was just, God's voice, God will now shout at us normally. Normally God speaks in what kind of a voice? A still small voice. And the message that I was able to share that day in church is just that in the soundtrack of our life, there's a lot of noise right now in this world. There's a lot of noise. And if you guys will just, as a mental image, just turn those other tracks down and make space for the still small voice that all of us need to listen to. So if you guys will, I'd love to, if you would join with me, if you know the song, you're welcome to. If you feel like it's a better fit, just close your eyes and just listen for a second. But the song is just called I'm Listening.
Confusion fades, just a word, and suddenly I'm not afraid, 'cause you speak, and freedom reigns. There's hope, and there is hope, and every single word you say, and I don't want one word you speak, 'cause everything you say is life to me, 'cause everything you say is life to me. I don't wanna miss one word you speak. Quiet my heart, God, and quiet my heart, I'm listening. When sorrows roll, when sorrows roll and troubles rage, you whisper peace. When I don't have the words to say, I won't lose hope. When storms won't break, you keep your word, and your promises keep me safe, and I don't want to miss one word you speak, no God, 'cause everything you say is life to me. And I don't want to miss one word you speak, oh, so quiet my heart, I'm listening. You speak, 'cause 'Cause everything you say is alive to me. And I don't want to miss one word you speak. And quiet my heart, I'm listening.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm just standing here with goosebumps all over my neck right now. Because from what Guy shared earlier and Dave shared at Transition and what Jason just shared is what I believe God wants to share with all of you this morning. It happens to be the theme of the message today. The importance and the priority of the pause. I just want to start off by asking you this question. Do you ever feel or get that nagging feeling when you're resting and doing nothing that you should be working? You're like, come on, just rest. Lisa, let's take a nap. I feel guilty for napping, Lance. Why? Because I feel like I should be doing something. That nagging feeling is called relaxation guilt. In 1983, Tim Hansel, an evangelical author, wrote a book entitled When I Relax, I Feel Guilty. I never read the book, never took enough time to sit down and read it, but I resonated with the title. But don't we live in a culture where our worth is measured by what we do? What's the first question we ask somebody when we meet them for the first time? What do you do? As if their worth or identity is defined by their productivity. We often can't stop. We can't pause. We feel like we must keep on producing. And if we stop, we feel guilty. And I am the first one to be guilty of this. I'm always doing something that's productive. I kind of snickered when I was to myself as I was singing that song about stopping and listening, because I remember there was a time when Jason invited me to go to Pacheman Terrace, a little hermitage place for a silent retreat up in northern Minnesota. And I didn't know what to do but to sleep. I was there to listen, to try to get downloads from heaven, to sit under an open heaven and have God just download things into me. But the noise, how many know that everything can be quiet around you, but it can be really noisy in your mind? And so to turn that noise off, the only thing I knew to do was to sleep. It happened to be gun opener weekend, and I don't know if you remember that, Jason, but there were like, you know, gunshots and rifle shots out in the distance, and I was like, I don't know if I should be out here walking. Am I going to get hit by something? I was telling Guy before the service, him and Brad are going to be a part of a silent retreat in the next couple weeks, and I was like, I couldn't wait for that retreat to be over. I went to the busiest Mexican restaurant in town because I knew they were going to have mariachi night that night. But I've learned since then that pausing to rest is not another doing. It's an undoing. It's an undoing, and it's important. There's a priority in pausing. In the midst of our 24/7 nonstop world, God wants us to pause, right? Yeah. To rest. I love the words of Jesus as Eugene Peterson in the Message paraphrase puts Matthew 11:28-30. It says, listen to this, are you tired? And we'd all be like raising our hands, right? Are you worn out? Yeah, that's me. Burned out on religion? Yes, yes. You're speaking my language. And then Jesus says, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. How many would love to recover your life right now? You just kind of get back some of that wasted time. You know, kind of, if I could just recover this portion of my life, because life goes by fast, right? He said, well, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And I love this part. It says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. It's like, can you be my boss, Jesus? Or could you, like, share that with my boss? I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. Wow. Keep company with me. And you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Remember when Pastor Tom Flaherty was here a while back and he shared about living under the ease of heaven? Powerful words. Just to have the ease of heaven by keeping company with Jesus and learning how to live freely and lightly. But I love that phrase, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. When we're worn out and burned out trying to achieve everything in our own strength, Jesus invites us to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Those things that are not heavy, those burdens that are light and freeing, to be able to recover part of our life by keeping company with him. Last Sunday, I talked about the importance of having a God of life. Everybody say God of life. And a God of life I defined as a schedule and set of spiritual disciplines, spiritual practices like fasting, like prayer, like Bible reading, devotions, these relational rhythms that help us create space in our already busy lives. That's what it is. By pausing to rest, you're creating space. You're creating space. You're creating margin in your life to receive those downloads from heaven. To be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. I remember, this is not profound at all. But I felt like one day when I was like, man, I want to change. I want to be able to live this freely and lightly thing. Then Jesus said, well, just read. Read the red letters. Read my words. Do what I did. Wouldn't it be awesome if you just read through the Gospels and just took note, journaled what the things that Jesus did and then did them? Wouldn't that free you up in such a great way? I believe that this is the abundant life that John 10:10 comes. It says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life. I believe that that's the life that Jesus wants us to live, the unforced rhythms of grace. As Dave mentioned, we're going through the book, The Common Rule, and that's kind of the focus or kind of like a launching pad for this sermon series. Of course, it's all wrapped in scripture. How many read Justin Early's testimony in the first part of the book and just was like, man, I relate with that? I mean, just reading his testimony just made me want to devour the rest of the book. Because I could relate with being burned out and filled with anxiety, burning the candle at both ends and saying, I need to create space in my life to be with Jesus. On our website, thewellmadison.org/thecommonrule, I encourage you, if you have not gone there, we put a lot of time and effort in creating resources, categorizing and cataloging some resources together for you to go, to look at, to check out. You'll find some helpful resources there, especially as it relates to today's sermon, because I'm going to be talking about the priority of the pause, and there are some links on our website that will help you to practice and live this out. Some of you are doing that right now. You don't do it right now. Don't go there right now. You can go there after service, thewellmadison.org/thecommonrule. Last Sunday, how many appreciated having real-life examples, our elders come up and share how they are incorporating this God of life in their lives? Because we need a God of life to bring us back when life gets crazy. We need something that brings us back and shows us what's important when life is crazy. Because remember, moments with God creates days with God that create a life with God. Let me say that again. Moments with God create days with God that create a life with God. Because time flies by, doesn't it? Time flies by. How many of you said, man, as I get older it seems like time flies by even faster. And I don't know about you, but I get ruined sometimes by those Facebook memories. You know what I'm talking about? Every once in a while, they'll pop up, and you'll be like, who's those kids? Oh, there was a time when my kids were that little, 14, 15 years ago, and you're like, man, now they're getting older, they're dating, they're making plans, they're getting ready to move out, go to college, and what? And some of you are like, what are you talking about, getting ready to move out? Mine are already gone. You know, some of you are like, they already have kids of their own, you know, and they're going through this too. But life passes by so quickly. And speaking of quickly, open to the Gospel of Mark this morning. Mark is said to be the quick gospel. Actually, the key words of the book of Mark is immediately. Mark writes with this sense of urgency and immediacy. It's like, Mark, slow down. But he's like this cut to the chase type of guy. I took Gospel of Mark in Bible college, and I loved it because, man, we got through that book fast. It was quick. And it was like, immediately Jesus did this, and Jesus did that. And I was like, I like this dude, Mark. He cuts to the chase. How many of you are kind of like a cut to the chase type of person? It's like, don't bore me with the details. Just show me the bottom line, right? Cut to the chase. I see a bunch of guys shaking their head. Yep, that's me. But then you married your wife, and she wants all the details. I want to show you, starting in Mark chapter 1, Jesus' way of living and doing. Mark 1, verse 35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark. You know that your most productive moment of your day is very early in the morning while it's still dark. You ever cataloged the number of times that it says that Jesus in the fourth watch of the night, or this miracle happened in the fourth the fourth hour of the night, you know, that time right just before sunrise is when the women went to the tomb. Miracles happened. Jesus was resurrected around that time. It says, well, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Not where he poured his Wheaties, ate his Cheerios. He prayed. Mark 1:45, but he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. Jesus, because of his popularity, because of the miracles that he was performing, because of his message and this words of life that were coming out of his mouth, people were drawn to that. It's like, you ever want to draw a crowd? Just start a fire, right? Jesus was on fire. People were coming to hear what he was saying. People were coming from all over. And so he said that he had to get away, to go away to these desolate and solitary places to pray to his Father. So we see in the life of Jesus this pausing and retreating for purposes of prayer and rest. Mark 3, verse 13. And he went, Mark 6:31 and 32, it says, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. He was saying to his disciples, watch this pattern. If you want to do what I do, you know, do, then do what I do. Did that make sense? If you want to be like me, do what I do, right? It says, so come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Lastly, Mark 6:45, right after he had fed the 5,000, it says this about him. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. So as I was reading this, I was thinking, you know, Jesus fed all these people, 5,000 men. That's not even including the women and the children. Miracles were happening. Ministry was happening. And Scripture says he withdrew from the crowds and went up into the hills by himself to pray. You know, when we have momentum happen in our lives, we're like, man, well, I just want to ride this wave, right? Jesus stopped and said, if this wave's going to continue, I need to pause. I need to get in sync with my Father. I need to rest up and have something fresh to say. In the 1990s, a popular phrase and subsequent bracelet was created. You remember what it was? WWJD. By the way, it's coming back in fashion. If you don't know me, I'm a gift giver. It's one of the ways I express my love language. And so I've got a couple of these bracelets for somebody that wants one. Who would want one of these? Here you go, Jessica. All right, over here. Who wants one over here? Here you go, Jerry. I remember when that bracelet first came out, that words just came out, what would Jesus do? And people were asking that, well, what would Jesus do in this situation? I think the better question to ask is, what did Jesus do? Yeah. Right? Not what would he do? That's good. But what did Jesus do? John 5:19 says, this is what he did. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. So what did Jesus do? He did what the Father told him to do. How do you know what the Father wanted him to do? He had to pause, to rest. He had to seek the Father. He had to spend time in his presence. And some people call this their devotional time. Some of you call this your quiet time. One of the most cringy statements I've ever heard about this is my tog. Like, what's a tog? I know it rhymes with dog, but what's a tog? And they're like, it's my time alone with God. I'm like, that's a little bit cringy. I like devotional life or quiet time, but not tog. But whatever you call it, this time is where you get in sync with your Father through the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can live out his will for your life. And I asked you all last week, do you want to live out God's will for your life? And almost all of you raised your hand and said, yes, I want to. And then I talked about how all of us, myself included, say things like that. I want to live out God's will for my life. But then our actions don't line up sometimes with our words. And we're not perfect. And God doesn't require us to be perfect. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit to be a helper, a comforter, a counselor, a strengthener, a sanctifier, to bring us back. To bring us back. This place, what if I told you that when your life is discombobulated, you know, have you ever felt like, I don't know which way is up from down? You know, everything's out of control right now. Have you ever thought, man, I don't think that anything good could happen right now because everything is falling apart? Have you ever had those days? It's like you just got an argument and now you got a flat tire and you're stuck or your battery's dead, you know, and then you got home and you got through that whole fiasco and then you got something in the mail and you owe this amount of money that you didn't think that you were going to have to owe and this bill came and you're like, what's going on? And you're on the phone with somebody in the Philippines or India and you're like, oh, man, can things get any worse than this? You know what I'm talking about? What if I told you that there was a place that you could go? What if I told you that there was a secret place that you could go and that the Holy Spirit is there and he could be all the things for you that you need him to be? You know, we say the names of God and we say he's Jehovah Rapha and it's almost like we say those things like, man, I'm cool because I know this, right? He's Jehovah Tiskanu. He's the Lord God, my righteousness. But what if he really was that? What if he really was your healer? What if he really was your righteousness and you really allowed him to be your comforter, your counselor? What if you allowed him to be your baptizer, your strengthener, your sanctifier? What if it wasn't just words that you spoke, but it connected with your heart, and God was really those things? What if I told you that there was a place that you could go, And it could change your perspective on everything. There is. It's a place in the Spirit. And we access it through prayer. We access it through prayer. I like to call it a room of requirement. If you're taking notes, right? It's a requirement for requirement. Prayer is a room of requirement. Because it's a requirement for us. We were created, like Dave said, for presence, to be in the presence of God. It's a room of requirement for his children. We have to pause to get in sync with our Father so that we can receive the downloads of heaven. Amen? It's a room of requirement. How many remember in 1999 when TiVo came out? It was expensive. You ever have like that aunt and uncle? They seem to have all the money and they get all the cool stuff. You know, they were the first one to get the microwave and whatever. I had one of those aunts and uncles. I remember being over at their house for American Idol. That show's been around for a long time. And they're like, hey, anybody hungry? Anybody need to take a bathroom break? I'm like, it's live TV. And they're like, but I've got TiVo. I can pause. And it was cool, but again, it was costly, so it became obsolete. So other people stole their idea and have done it better for less money. And now all the young people are like, what are you talking about? I can pause. I just get on my phone, and when I want to just take a break, I just pause. But don't you wish that we had a remote for real life where we could just hit the pause button? Just if I could just hit that pause button. There's this period of time in Scripture where Jesus is performing one miracle after another. Crowds are getting larger and larger and lots happening. And the disciples, you know, that one moment when they were hungry and the disciples were like, hey, we don't have any food. Just Jesus, just tell them to go away. And he's like, no, no. And they're like watching him and they're like, man, he fed them all with just that little boy's lunch. Now he's telling us to get in a boat and go over to the other side. Where's he going? Well, maybe he's hungry. Maybe he's gonna, you know, he's got the secret drive-through thing or something. And then he goes away and he prays. And they watch this pattern over and over happening. And what do? They come to Jesus and say, we've been watching this pattern. You do all these miracles, you see all these great things, and then you pause, you pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us how to do that. Will you teach us to pray? And here's my translation for that statement. Lord, we don't know how you do the stuff you do and stay sane. Every time you get a chance, you seem to pause and pray. Will you teach us how to do that too? The pause for Jesus seemed to be a necessary requirement. It was a room of requirement for him. And I find that I need it too. When fear and anxiety raises its ugly head in my life, or when worry is stealing my sleep, and I am sitting there, laying there in bed, and I'm recounting all the moments of the day or this situation, and I'm thinking about when I see that person, this is what I'm going to say, and if they say this, then this is what I'm going to say in response. You're laughing because it's true. You've done it too. Right? And it's robbing your sleep. And you're trying to get back to sleep, but you can't. So you pause. And the pause becomes your place of refuge. And you finally say, God, you can have it. You can have all the fear and the anxiety and the worry. I cast my cares on you because you care deeply for me. There's power in allowing God to be God. I need that power. You need that power because we pause for a moment, but eventually we have to hit play again. Right? We pause for a moment because we have to hit play again. We can't really pause everything around us. We can't control all the noise, but we can control our part. And we don't just pause for our life to be easy and restful all the time. I'm not talking about isolation here this morning. Isolation is weakness. It's not what God's called us to do. We pause so that we can do the work and we can hit play again. We're not called to be monks. If you're called to be a monk, there's a monastery in Middleton that you can go and join. One of the habits that was a part of the reading plan this past week was kneeling prayer 3 times a day. And I want to say this about kneeling prayer. They spilled coffee or something. It's okay. You can look back up here. No big deal. At least it's not carpet. And the common rule book to talk about kneeling prayer 3 times a day. And I don't know about you, but I kind of had this false perception growing up. I don't know if it's just something I just perceived or if my professors actually made it out to be this way or if it's something that I was taught. I can't remember. But I had this perception like you just, it's like get alone in your prayer closet. It's like I have a clothes closet, but my family never said and called it a prayer closet or anything like that. But how many have ever had the perception that you just have to, like, get away and, like, stay there for a couple hours or something? And so you stopped and you never got alone in prayer because you thought that it had to be this long, drawn-out thing. And you're like, I have too much work to do that. That's what this is about at all. Kneeling prayer 3 times a day takes just 3 to 5 minutes in the morning, midday, and evening to get in sync with God. Now, I think as you grow in your relationship with the Lord, it's not a I have to, but it's I get to. And that time will grow. But if you haven't started yet, don't compare yourself to what you hear somebody else doing. Just do it. Start somewhere. It's like any of the disciplines, like giving or tithing. If you feel like you can't do 10%, give 2% to the Lord, and God will challenge you, and he'll grow your faith for you to be able to give the other 8%, and sometimes even more than that. Amen? So spending 3 to 5 minutes in the morning, midday, and in the evening to sync up with God, and there are 4 elements to this time where we sync up with God, and I think it would be very helpful if you wrote these things down. And the first element of the pause is Scripture. How many of also talked about, he talked about Scripture before screens, right? Like seeking God's face through his word before looking at other people's faces. Reaching for your Bible instead of your smartphone. And it's good to have the Bible on your phone, but notifications are on your phone too. So that's why it's good to reserve your paper Bible for those devotional times, those quiet times, and leave your phone in another room somewhere else so that you're not getting notifications. This happens to me all the time. I'll have my Bible open or I'm reading in Scripture, and if it's on my phone or my tablet or my MacBook, I'll have a notification come up and I'll be like, oh yeah, I need to do that. And guess where my mind goes? To that. We're going to talk about next week, so I'm not going to spend time right now about this first element of Scripture, because we're going to talk about the Bible next week and how the Bible works and how it's so powerful, so you don't want to miss next Sunday's message. But the second element of the pause is speaking with God. Talking to him about what's happening in your life. Do you know that you can complain to God? God's big enough for your complaints. That's what the book of Psalms is all about, laments. David poured out his laments to the Lord because God can handle it. Actually, it's better to complain to God before complaining to anybody else. Oftentimes, I'll find if I first complain to him, he'll convict me, and then I won't have to go on Facebook and complain to anybody else. Some of you should try that. Just saying. How often a person complains on Facebook shows you how little they're talking to God. Write that one down in your notes. It's free. Prayer is this room of requirement, a secret place where everything you need is available. God said in James, if you pray for wisdom, guess what? I'll give it to you. If you come to me and need comfort, guess what? I've given you my comforter, my helper, my paraclete, the Holy Spirit. He'll comfort you. Everything's there. When the disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray, what did he give them? He gave them the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer starts off by saying, our Father. Our Father, not our friend, not our buddy. Our Father. All right, Andy, go get the mop again. Andy's like, can we just pause? Can we just rewind? The third element of the pause is solitude with God. Solitude with God. Solitude means being alone with God. Do you know that when you're alone, you're with God? Because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when you're alone, you're with God. You're enjoying solitude with God. You know, Matthew talks about going into that prayer closet or entering into that secret place. And I think the key there in that verse is where it says, shut the door. And I've heard some speakers say, it takes longer for some people to shut the door than others. But there, it's important to shut the door. Shut the door is like turn off the noise. And if that takes a while, so be it. So be it. The importance is shut the door so that you can turn off the noise, the internal noise, so that you can listen to what he wants to say to you. Shut the door. It's in solitude that we prepare for the people. I need to pause so that I can do what Jason said, so that I have something fresh to give to the people. If I'm going to be meeting with somebody that is seeking out counsel or wisdom, how many know that I need to spend time with him first before I meet with them? So I have something fresh to say. I'm not just throwing something out, you know, just grabbing something from my hip and saying, here you go. That I'm not just giving you something downloaded to somebody else, that I'm getting something fresh. It's a fresh word. It's a rhema word for this church. You need to do the same thing. You're all leaders. You're all leaders. It's not the leaders stand up front. No, you're all leaders. You're all leaders somewhere. You're leaders in your family. You're leaders in your workplace. You're leaders in your school. You need something fresh to give. Even if you're not leading a small group, but you're part of a small group, guess what? God wants to use you in that small group to give something fresh, to encourage. What's the word encourage mean? It means to give courage to somebody. You know, I heard you saying this, and what do you think about this? Or I feel like God is telling me this. How do you like share those things, those words of knowledge or the prophetic or stuff like that? You practice. You listen. You listen. Solitude. That's where we prepare for the people. That's where we become the best version of ourselves. So we get along with God to prepare for the people. And the fourth element of the pause is silence. And like I said, silence is not something that we're used to at all. There's a time to talk to God, and there's a time just to be silent. Sit before him and let him speak. Let me give you some practical spaces that this could happen for busy people. The first one is when you wake up. And maybe you need to get up a bit earlier. It's like, you don't know my house. It's never silent. That's our house. I find with three dogs now, people call on the phone. It's like, oh, you're home. Or it's silent. Somebody rings the doorbell. Got a golden doodle going off the back of the couch. Other one trying to get free, he's barking. The collar's going off. And he's like, So maybe you need to get up a little bit earlier if you have a house like mine so that you can enjoy a little bit of silence. So when you wake up, you take the first 90 seconds just to be still before God, because guess what? You're still pretty much asleep. Okay, Lord, it's going to be a minute. The coffee hasn't kicked in yet. But you don't do any talking there in this time. You just let God talk to you. And once you've been silent before God and wakened up a little bit, maybe you, if you are the type you need a tool or resource, maybe use an app to help guide you in prayer. And that's what's part of the pause on our website. We've got three different apps there. One is the Lectio 365 app. It's a free devotional app that helps you pray the Bible every day. There's a morning and evening Bible reading where you can allow scripture to be read over you in the silence of God. There's this thing called the reticular activating system that's a part of each of our lives that God's put within us. And sometimes you can be like, man, I'm not comprehending anything. If you just let scripture play over you, you are getting something. You're getting something. The YouVersion Bible app also has something now, a guided daily prayer time as well. Man, YouVersion and Life Church has just been a gift to the body of Christ. All the resources that they give away for free. And then another great one by John Eldredge. All the men have been a part of probably the Wild at Heart book series. John Eldredge has this app called the 1 Minute Pause app that teaches you all about pausing. But go to the website, check these out if you're the type that needs something like that. But we all desperately need to build in different times in our day where we pause and we're silent before the Lord. Because guess what? This is what our life looks like. We get up. We reach for our phone. We get the notifications, beep, beep, they're coming in because it's like, oh, the advertisers know that you're up. They start bombarding you. Who's Alpha Paw? You know, what's Chewy want to sell me now, you know? And you're like sucked in all these things. And then what do? You're like, Alexa, Siri, whatever, you know, play music. And then you're getting ready. You're listening to music, and then you go downstairs, and there's the noise of the kids in the background if you have children at home. There's the dogs barking like I talked about if you have pets. And you're lucky if you can get a few bites of breakfast. You grab your coffee tumbler, and you're in a hurry. You get to work, and guess what? There's a meeting scheduled. You have to go into a meeting. There's a lot of talking, a lot of brainstorming going on. Your mind's working. And then you pause. Maybe you step back and say, I can't take a lunch today. And so you have a podcast playing in the background. You've got the food. And when you get home, and you're doing all that. And then you get in your car, and you listen to something on the way back home. And you get home, and you're like, dinner's ready, honey. You know, the kids are like, hey, daddy's home, you know. And you sit down at dinner, and you get through all that. And then you turn on. It's Wednesday night, you know. It's my favorite shows, or it's Thursday, my favorite shows. You watch those, and it's just, then there's people like, hey, calling up, hey, brother, what's happening? Oh, man, okay, hey, what's up, you know. And then you get in bed, and what do? You grab your phone, you get in your nothing box, and you just scroll. And then you get up and you do it all over the next day. Is that true? Does that look like a lot of your days? We're addicted to noise, and we are distracting our way into spiritual decay. We're falling apart spiritually because we're not connecting with the Father. And we need to just pause and sit before the Lord. I was with some local pastors this past week, and one of the pastors of a large church in our city said, I wasn't feeling stress or anxiety, but I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, stress and anxiety in your life is killing you physically, and you need to do something about it. And he started talking about all the pressures, all the things that he wanted to accomplish for the Lord, the opportunities that existed and that was there for them, and how it was stretching him, and there was no margin, and it was squeezing out prayer in his life. And he said these words. It was almost like I was building a monument instead of a ministry. He says, so, and this has really encouraged me. He said, I just started small. I just started waking up and praying the Lord's Prayer, praying through 1 Peter. And he had these different things, praying for this and that. And he said, everything's begun to turn around in my life. And the purpose that we were together was talking about how technology and what, there's this book out called Technopoly, and how our phones have become an abusive relationship. And it's almost like a domestic violence type thing. We've gotten used to the abuse and we put up with it. It's like a tortured romance, he said. And he said, it's robbing. It's robbing this time. You all get the notification at the end of the week or whatever your day is, which tells you this is how much time you've spent on your phone. And he said, think about what this is doing, especially to our youth and our kids. He said, the amount of time that we spend on our phone, all of us could be professional concert violinists. We could have PhDs. We could be the best at whatever field that we would choose if we spent that much time practicing or performing. Wouldn't it be good to recover some of that time to spend with the Father, to get in sync with him in order to build the kingdom of God, to get those downloads of heaven? I want to end with this word, kava. Say kava. It means to wait actively with anticipation and hope for God to act. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they who wait, they who kava for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I had this vision, because I'm crazy sometimes, about like in a three-legged race. How many know that you have to be in sync? Or you're like falling, they're going that way. And that's what it's talking about here. Those who wait, those who sync up with the Lord, shall what? They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, not fall down, because they're going in separate directions. They shall walk and not faint. And here's an active, it's not passive. It's this waiting to learn how to be in step with God. And sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes like God's speaking, he's like, no, I just want you to wait. How many are like in a waiting pattern right now? It's purposeful. God has you there because he's teaching you to sync up with him. He's teaching you to sync up with him. He's teaching you to be obedient, because obedience comes with trust. I wrote these words down from one of my favorite songs from Maverick City and Elevate Sound when I was getting ready on you. And I had this on when I was getting ready this morning. It said, I've tasted your goodness. I'll trust in your promise. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you. Because I've tasted your goodness. I've tasted your goodness. And I'm trusting in your promise. I'm going to wait on you, Lord, because you are faithful. I have Brad and Guy come, and the rest of the worship team, Steve and Lydia. Let's stand together as they come and prepare. What's the response, the application? I'm not going to have you come up forward or do anything like that. The application, the response this week is doing it. We paid the $16 a piece for you to have the book because we want to invest in you. We've invested this time because we want to invest in you. We don't want to just talk about it, but we want to give you the resources to live it out. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. It's like, I want that, but where do I start? Take 90 seconds tomorrow. take time tonight to pause and say, I'm going to put my phone away for a while, and I'm going to seek your face, Lord. I'm going to choose scripture tomorrow morning before screens. I'm going to kneel, or I'm going to posture myself. That's what that means. It's just like doing something different. It doesn't have to be kneeling, but just I'm going to take a different posture to break the routine that I'm in the moment, to say thank you, to say thank you, to seek you, to listen to your voice, because you care about me enough to speak to me. He didn't speak in the earthquake. He didn't speak in the big loud noises. He spoke in the still small voice. So we have to listen. And it says, my sheep, my followers, know my voice. They know my voice. That's application. And then next Sunday morning, come. We're going to practically help you begin to draft a guide of life that's personalized for you. I'm going to give you some examples. We'll have others that speak into it. 8:45 to 9:45. We don't need to prepare something else in addition to a service, addition to a family meeting after the service that's going to happen next week. It'd be easy to say, we don't need to do that, but we're doing it because we want to invest in you. We want to give you the resources. So show up for that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that this will all be worth it when we stand before you on that great day, the blessed hope, when there will be no more craziness and chaos, because we're in your presence. And we join with the angels this morning singing, Holy is the Lord, in that Revelation song. Let's worship him this morning, because this is what it's all about.